Om Shanti and good morning again, everyone. Anybody here from Pandav Bhavan? Okay, welcome to Gyan Sarovar. Good morning. So today we have a very unique and new session. I don't think we've done this before, have we, Judy? We've done something like this before? No. So this is something very unique and special. And so you're all welcome to join us for some new exercises and experiments with simplicity. Is the translation okay? No, so you need to find your translator. Okay, I think the Russians need a little time to get translation organized. Judy, do you need everyone closer or... Yeah? So would those anywhere from halfway in the hall and back, would you like to come forward, please? It will just feel a little bit more cozy and homely, and there's a lot of people coming in and out, and you won't get disturbed by the visitors. So Judy, Sister Judy from Canada, has been with Baba for many years. And in her Lokik work, she does a lot of facilitation in corporations and companies. She also wrote a book last year. Is that your first book, Judy? Judy's written 4 books. And I know for me she's an inspiration for stepping out of the box and doing creative new things, which often mean that we need to be creative and new in our thinking. So yesterday Sister Jenti spoke about being an inspiration. And what I love about Judy is she is an inspiration in her every step and every word, and yet she manages to stay very incognito and simple in her Brahmin life. So thank you for being with us today. Shanti.
Om Shanti. Spanish okay? Yeah. Russian okay? No. No Russian. Yes, Russian. Thank you. Thai is okay. Portuguese? Okay. So, welcome. Good start to simplicity. I see many faces I know, which is very nice, but many faces I don't know. Can you hear? It's okay? Yeah? So, as Sona Ben said, oh no, they're not hearing. Russian's not hearing. Volume up, please, for Russian. She can't do anything. Brother can do. Volume up. Okay. So maybe I'll speak. No, it doesn't help if I speak louder, does it? It's okay? Russian? Yes. Oh, happy faces. Okay, great. That's great to see the happy faces. Okay, so as Sona Ben said, I'm Sister Judy. I live in Baba's Center in Halifax in Canada, which is a 12-hour drive to Montreal, a 20-hour drive to Toronto, and a 5-day drive to Vancouver. For those of you who know those places, nobody knows Halifax. It was the first place that Baba came in the Americas 43 years ago. And Sister Mohini and Chandraben from Mauritius stayed there for 3 months. And then they left and went to New York, Toronto, and Guyana. And that was 43 years ago. And I'm the first fruit of that seed. And I'm a 20-year Brahmin. So it's hard soil in Halifax, where I live. We have a very small handful of Brahmins there, but we have a lot of fun. And actually, partly I think why I end up doing workshops, creative workshops around Gyan and yoga, is because we have to entertain ourselves, this little group of us in Halifax. So we just keep creating new things, fun things to entertain ourselves and play with the jewels of knowledge. So I travel a lot in the Brahmin family, which gets me out for from that little place, which is good. And mostly doing creative things. You know, Brahmins have a lot of gyan and a lot of yoga, and it's playing with it, activating it, making it alive and fresh and new. So I really enjoy doing that, and I think that's maybe why Sona Ben asked me to do this today. She said, do something creative. So I thought about that, and I've got four exercises for us to play with today. The thing about creating experiential learning is that as a facilitator, you never really know what people are going to get from it because you're not telling them. You're creating an experience, they get to have the experience, and then they discover for themselves something, which is wonderfully unpredictable. It means I have no idea if these are going to work, but it's part of the fun. It's just to try them out and see what we learn. I'd like to start, if I could, by just asking you to sit with this word for a couple of minutes. I have three questions for you. One is for the intellect, one is for the mind, and one is for the sanskaras, to start off. And so if you don't mind, just to close your eyes for a minute, I'll ask you these three questions. So if you can bring onto the screen of your mind the word simple in your language, or simplicity, whichever word you like, simple, simplicity, and just see it on the screen of your mind in your own language. And now I'll ask you three questions. First question, what does simplicity mean to you? What does simplicity mean to you? Take a moment and contemplate. It's a good thing we can be silent inside when all the noise is out there. Second question, allow the screen of your mind just to be blank, nothing there, like the movie theater before it begins. I'd like you to allow an image to come onto the screen of your mind. What does simplicity look like? Any image at all. What does simplicity look like? Enjoy the image, whatever has come. And the third and final question, remember a moment, a time when you felt simple, and replay the memory in your mind. So where were you? What were you doing? Who were you with? Just remember a memory when you felt simple. You felt this quality of simplicity in yourself. Hold the feeling if you're feeling it, and then you can open your eyes. So you can write down anything that came to mind, or take a couple minutes and share with the person sitting next to you. So what does simplicity mean? What did it look like? And when did you feel it? So take a couple moments and just either write down to yourself, or you can share with the person sitting next to you. As we begin our investigation into simplicity. Repeat the second question. What does simplicity look like? Okay. So the morning we will do a number of experiments with simplicity so that you can discover it, but also that you can experience simplicity. So that's my hope for this morning's session, is that you get to experience simplicity in your consciousness. So this is a theme we're taking up for an entire year in the Brahmin family, simplicity, which is Baba's way of aligning all of us in the same direction, as he does every day in the Murli. But these annual themes are a deeper commitment, an intention. So one can ask oneself, why is this theme, simplicity, so important for us as Brahmins at this time, that it has become the theme for the entire year? The regional retreats, every double foreigner who comes through here will be exposed to a series of classes about simplicity. The national coordinator, center coordinator retreat in February will be all about simplicity. It's interesting, isn't it? It must mean it's time for us to become simple. What do you think? Yeah? We've had so much complexity in our lives. We've had complexity for 2,500 years. We actually, I think we are really we're accustomed to complexity and complications. As a facilitator, I've noticed over time that people actually really seem to find expansion fascinating. You know, expansion is fascinating. The details that lead to other details, that lead to a good story, and we call this expansion. It's quite fascinating. But for me, coming to Bubba, the thing that I discovered is that essence is actually breathtaking. And I don't know how that translates, but expansion's fascinating, essence is breathtaking. And essence is always very simple. And I believe that's why we're so in love with Bubba, is this simplicity. Essence is so breathtakingly beautiful. Simplicity is breathtakingly beautiful. So we want more of it. When I began thinking about the theme, there were four main aspects that came to mind for me. And it started as I was churning, when I was thinking about Mama. And Mama, as we know, was known to have a plain intellect. And plain has two meanings in English. Plain means simple, in the no add-ons, no frills, no fancy, no bling. It's just plain, simple, right? But it has another meaning in English, and that meaning is a big, wide, open field, a plain. And so I've always thought of a plain intellect as an intellect that is so simple, it's wide open. And there are no obstructions on the horizon. I can see 360 degrees around me in a big open field, a big plain. So the plain intellect is some quality of simplicity. That I'd like to explore that a little bit. Another one is this alignment, that my mind, my intellect, and my sanskaras are all aligned in the same direction. So I'd like to do a little exercise around alignment and feeling aligned. The three questions we just used, can you guess which one was for the mind, which one was for the intellect, which one was for the sanskaras? So what does it mean to you, simplicity? What does it look like? And when do you remember experiencing it? We were exercising the three organs of the soul by doing that. Can you guess which was which? Which was the question, what does it mean to you? Intellect, right? The intellect discerns and makes meaning. Yeah, so the intellect, what does it mean to you? The second question, what does it look like? Which organ of the soul were we exercising? The mind, because the mind's all about pictures, feelings, images. Right? What does it look like? On the screen of the mind, a picture comes. Okay, so we're exercising the mind. The third one, sanskaras. Remember a time when. Replay the memory in your mind. So when the intellect, the mind, and the sanskaras are all focused on the same thing, we feel aligned inside. And that's our most simple, complete stage. So we actually, it won't be by magic, it will be Bubba's magic that makes us simple by the end of the Kalpa, but we could certainly help by focusing our mind, our intellect, and our sanskaras on simplicity. So these three simple questions on any virtue, any quality I want more of, I can ask those same three questions and activate the organs of the soul. So we have to do this at this time, is experience it. But the alignment, when I think of simple, I think of the intellect being absolutely pinprick focused on one thing in the present moment. Still. So that would be the intellect. And the mind would be absolutely full of silence. and the sanskaras of being. Just being. And these three things together, for me, really felt like simplicity in the soul. Oh, we lost a language. Portuguese? We lost Portuguese? No. Volume. Up? Volume up? No, there's no any Portuguese at all. We lost you. Spanish? Do we have you still? Spanish? Yes, okay. Russian? Yes, I'm only asking because they're the big groups, easy to see. Portuguese? No, nothing. I know. You didn't pull a plug or anything up there. It's good. You're good. Portuguese? No, not good. He's good, you're not. Nothing. Is our brother there? Yes. He says good. Okay, we have local translation. Thank you, brother. Proceed. Yes, we can do local translation. Can brother do in your ear? Yes, you can? Okay. So you have to take off your headphones. Thank you. So aligned. Okay, so I'll tell you about the four exercises I brought. So these are just some of my churnings about the topic. So I brought four exercises, and they're all related to one aspect. And I know that I actually really love simplicity. And I know as Brahmins, we actually really love simple things. Maybe because many of the complex things are gone, that cup of tea seems amazing, doesn't it? Just sitting with a cup of tea, those simple things, you know, that we get. 6 hours uninterrupted sleep. Simple. Amazing, right? How much we love the simple things in life. So I brought four little exercises, and they're all related to one aspect of simplicity. The first one is around childlike. They say that the time, probably the only time when adults are not thinking, is when we're playing. And as a mother of two, I definitely know when children go off and play, all kinds of things can happen, disasters, huge messes, things can happen. And if you ask the children, what were you thinking? They always look at you blankly, because technically, and neuroscience tells us, from a brain perspective, they weren't thinking. That we're not thinking when we're playing. And it's the only time when the left and the right hemisphere of the brain are connected. So we're like in between thinking, neither analytical nor imaginative. We're just being when we play. So I brought an exercise around being childlike, playing. It's a really simple little one. And maybe we'll actually just do that to start. Is that okay? Let's just start with the first exercise. And this one is around being childlike, simplicity as childlikeness. So you're all going to have to stand for this. So everybody get up. Okay, so we're going to play. We don't have much room to play, physical space, but we can play in another way. In the row where you're standing, you will need to stand next to each other, so close to each other in your row. And you need to have about 5 people next to you for this to work. Okay, I know some of you have done this before, but many have not. So I'm going to do it again. First of all, if you can just start by putting out your right finger. Put out your right finger straight, like that. Simple. Yeah, I know. We look confused because it's so simple. Okay, simple. And now put up your left thumb. Okay, ready? Left thumb, right finger. Now I want you to switch. That's not so easy, is it? No. Yeah, switch. Yeah, don't think about it. Doesn't work if you think about it.
It's quite hard, isn't it? Okay, this is something they call brain gym, and it's meant to connect left and right hemisphere of the brain. Okay, so stay standing. We're going to come back to that. So I'd like you to hold out your right palm flat, like this, to the person next to you. That's right. Sister, if you can get closer to brother, that's better. No, brother, join the sister here. Yeah, move down. Shuffle down. Okay, so right palm flat, just your right hand. Just your right hand. Only one hand. Your right hand. That's the other hand. Yeah, good. Okay? Right hand out. Okay, now put your left thumb on the hand. The other person's hand. Other person's hand. Thumb on their hand. That's right. Your hand flat. Thumb. This is very simple. There you go. Got it? So one hand, the other hand like, okay. When I say go, and not yet, I want you to lift your thumb and catch. Not yet. Not yet. Okay, get ready. Flat. Go. Okay, did anybody catch? Yes, did anybody catch and escape? Yes, Kalpana did. Wonderful, Sona did. Okay? Okay, let's try that again. Let's try that again. Right hand flat, left thumb, go! Okay, anyone succeed? Both. Yes, 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 yes. Okay, now let's check if your hemisphere is, other side is dominant. Put your left hand out now. Other hand, flat. Okay, and the other thumb. Anyone succeed? Yes, wonderful. Different than last time. Yes, okay, so that tells you about brain dominance. Okay, one more time. Left hand, flat. Right hand, thumb. When I say go, not yet, you lift and you catch. Go! Okay, success? Yes, okay. Now, let's see if you're stronger. Right finger out. Left thumb. Switch. Wow. Easier? No. Okay, so yes for some, easier for others not. Okay. All right, you can sit down. Okay, so just check your consciousness right now. How does it feel? Check your consciousness. Just check inside. How do you feel? Happy? Awake? Okay. So, apparently when we play and are childlike, we are at our simplest. So, somehow simple is connected to happiness, to these other things. So each time we do one of these exercises, I want you to write down one of the things you experienced, okay? So we're just gathering, collecting. Okay, so checking your consciousness, how did you feel? Playing, childlike, is a simplicity in consciousness. When I am childlike, innocent, free, happy. Okay. Second experiment. This one is about being essenceful. So essence being breathtaking, expansion fascinating. I find that part of the reason people hire this one as a consultant or a coach professionally is because at senior levels of organizations, there's really nobody you can talk to. Because if you talk to somebody else in the organization, that will go out into the rumor mill. And so people actually at the top of organizations are quite lonely, you know, in the Lockic world. They don't really have anyone else to talk to. And so as a coach or a consultant, when I get hired, I spend a lot of time listening. And, you know, people talk a lot, and they're big stories. It's kind of like a big spiral. And as I'm listening, I'm trying to understand what's the essence
of the issue. And of course, most of us have this experience with friends, people that we trust, you know, that we can talk about a situation that might seem big and complicated and expansive, and by the time I'm finished describing it, now I know what it was about. I can see the essence. Have you had this experience? Yeah, so sometimes we have to go, obviously, from expansion to essence. So one aspect of simplicity, of consciousness for me, is staying in the essence. Can I get quickly to the essence of something? Or do I expand? Do I spend time and energy investing in storytelling about expansion? So this is the second kind of quality of simplicity I wanted to explore with you. And the experiment is, I'm going to ask you to write something in a couple of minutes. You know, anyone know a Japanese haiku? Do you know the poetry that the Japanese call haiku? Do you know this? No? There are 5 syllables, 7 syllables, and 5 syllables. They're very, very simple poems, very beautiful because they're elegant. I don't have one with me, so I have to make one up. It would go something like, the sun shone brightly, rose petals opened on the tree, the world smiles with peace. There you go. So it's 5, 7, 5. That's the poem, the poetry we call haiku. So if you don't know it, that's okay. For those of you who do know it, the Japanese have haiku, but as Brahmins, we have diamond poems. So I'm going to ask you to write a diamond poem. And here's what a diamond poem looks like. But hang on, more instructions. A diamond poem looks something like this. So, 1 word, 2 words, 3 words, 2 words, 1 word. So I'm going to ask, you get the idea. So here's mine. Above it all, I see how I am free. So I'm going to ask you to take, this is my churning from this morning. I'm going to ask you to take a current lesson or learning you're having while you're here in Madhuban, or a current challenge. And I want you to draw the essence of that and put it in a diamond poem. So this is practice being essenceful, which is an expression of simplicity and consciousness, okay? So I'll give you a couple of moments. We can have some soft ones, what makes the shape of a diamond on your page, in your language. I can show you again. Do you see how that looks like a diamond, doesn't it?
The words.
Above it all, I see how I am free. Okay, so you get the idea. Yeah? So in your own language, take a couple of moments and just reflect on learning, experiences you're having here in Madhuban at this time, possibly even a challenge that you're working with right now or that you're experiencing. I would like you to simplify it to the essence and write it as a diamond poem. Okay? Practice with simplicity in consciousness. And if you like your poem, you can write another one. You could write one to Baba. Okay, how many of you have a diamond poem now? Does anyone need another minute? Another minute? Do you need another minute time? All right. So, I would like you now, if you can share your poem with someone sitting next to you, would be great. Just read your poem out loud to somebody sitting next to you. Okay, are they nice poems? Good poem? Yeah? Do you like your own poem? Yes. Good. All right. So, let's just take a moment and reflect on that process. What did you notice happening inside your consciousness as you went from thinking about the lesson, the challenge in Mariban, and reducing it to its essence, which was required for the poem? Just take a moment and reflect for yourself on what did you notice happening in your own consciousness as you went from big story to diamond poem. Clarity, peace, focus, say again, Misha, condensation, like shrinking it down, yeah, pulling, closure, nice, okay, all right. So any secrets in that process that are useful for you to become more simple? I'll just think about that for yourself. Anything useful in that process you just went through, useful for yourself to remember as you become more simple, as you increase the amount of simplicity you have in your consciousness? This is an exercise we can do many times in a day. We're not going to write a million diamond poems, but you get the idea. Going from expansion to essence is actually an expression of simplicity. So anything in that process you discovered for yourself that's useful as you become more simple. And then write that down for yourself. Okay. I'm not sure how many of you have a practice like this in your life at this time. Some do journaling, you know, and they write. Some do the spiral writing, so they write in a circle until they get to the center of the page, you know, and it's going from expansion to essence. How many of you have some kind of practice? Maybe it's just sitting in front of Baba making eye contact and telling your story until you get the essence. Doesn't have to be writing. But how many of you do this at least daily? This kind of essence work? Yeah. Okay. Fruitful? Useful? Necessary? Absolutely necessary as Brahmins to take the expansion of what we're experiencing, what we're reflecting on, what we're seeing, what we're witnessing, and bring it to the essence. What does it feel like when we have our whole story summed up in a diamond poem? What does it feel like inside? Peaceful. Powerful. Power comes with clarity, right? Clarity is an expression of simplicity. Most conflicts inside the individual and inside groups occur because the conversation is happening at the expansion level and not the essence level. There is no conflict in essence. If people individually do their homework and they clarify for themselves the essence of something, the conversation will be meaningful and productive. If they discover the essence through arguing, then we created a bunch of damage, didn't we? We created a bunch of bad vibrations. So this is an individual practice in order to remain simple, to come back to simplicity again and again and again. In Halifax, when we have our check-ins as a family, usually once a month we'll have a check-in, and we'll often start with something like this. That's where we made up the diamond poem. We had to find another way to check in, but essencefully. So sometimes we do things like everybody gets a headline from a newspaper. You have to make a newspaper headline about your current spiritual stage. And we have all kinds of fun things. But people think about it first. They do all the thinking privately. So they don't have to tell the whole story. And then what we get is the headline. Ah, and it's funny or it's insightful. But the real key to this, I think, is that we're always practicing being essenceful when we're with each other. And that means that the family is quite essenceful. We don't tend to go into a lot of expansion. And it's really very precious to be with a family that, you know, doesn't indulge in expansion, that can be essenceful. It's a practice. So many ways you can do in the group. There's just one little way to do. But the personal practice of coming to essence from expansion is, I think, a very important key to simplicity and consciousness. Does that make sense? Yeah? So many different tools. This is just one of them. So maybe we'll have somebody. Anybody want to read their poem? Anybody love their diamond poem? Go ahead, Peter. Go ahead. You can turn it into a song. He's being urged by Anthony. I know. I see it. Go ahead. Good and bad. Drama is beautiful. At peace. Again. Oh, that's lovely. Good and bad. Drama is beautiful. At peace. Again. Well done. Anyone else? Go ahead. My is the first word. Sweet Baba. Transforming my being into diamond. Good. Very good. Okay, we have another one. Go ahead. I love you, my sweet Baba. You are mine. Nice. Okay. Go ahead. Remember the fortune, not inner happiness. Mirror. Remember the fortune, not the new world, not the new. Oh, I'm not hearing all of that. So sorry. Did anyone hear? Peter, Anthony, did you hear someone sitting closer? No? Remember the fortune, not new world, inner happiness, mirrors. Mirror, mirrors, mirrors. Mirrored. Oh, gosh. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, good one. Okay, Gayatri, you've got one. The flower within blossoms and spreads, fragrance everywhere. Oh. Oh. Lovely. Look, we can all be Japanese haiku poets now. Wonderful. We are all God's family together. Creating new world. Wonderful. Thank you. Okay, one more. One more. Baba, thank you for my so much awe, your support today. Done. Full stop. Go ahead. All right, last one. Yeah. Ooh, don't use anything or anyone as. Anyone is one word. So don't use anything or anyone as an excuse anymore. Ooh, 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 that's good. Thank you. Okay. Okay, so one aspect of simplicity. The first one we did was childlike. Simplicity of consciousness is childlike, playful. The second, essenceful.
The third is aligned. Aligned. So we did an alignment exercise at the beginning with the simplicity using the three organs of the soul, right? Mind, intellect, sanskaras, so that they're aligned. Okay? I'd like to do a physical exercise with you, actually, because alignment also extends to my thoughts, my feelings, and my body, my actions, are all moving in the same direction. So my thoughts, my feelings, and my actions, my body, are all moving in the same direction. So in the Golden Age, they'll all be moving in the same direction anyways. In the Confluence Age, we're practicing moving our thoughts, our feelings, and our bodies in the same direction, in the direction we want to go, in a positive direction, right? So this experience of alignment, that my thoughts, my feelings, and my body are all doing the same thing. They're going in the same direction. So this is another stand-up exercise. We're going to move our thoughts, our feelings, and our bodies in the same direction. Okay. So we're going to start by standing. I'm going to ask you just to rock back and forth on your feet so that you feel a little bit unstable either direction until you find the point of stability. And then stand tall and stable in that position physically. We want stability as Brahmins, right? So we found the spot where our body is stable. I would like you to turn your head all the way back to the right and look behind you. Behind you is your entire life. And your entire life has brought you to this present moment. Bring your head back around to the front, slowly to the present moment. As Brahmins, we are in the present moment with an awareness of our past. I'd like you to turn your head the other direction, all the way to the back. I would like you to see your entire Brahmin life. All the lessons you have learned, the wonders, and the wisdom. Find a word to describe the wisdom you have gained from your past as you bring your head slowly back to the front. Bringing the wisdom of your learning on the Brahman journey into this present moment. I am stable, standing in the present moment. Now I'd like you to breathe in deeply. Breathe in peace and breathe out love. Breathe in peace. And breathe out love. Breathe in peace. And breathe out love. Now I'd like you to put your right hand on your heart. I'd like you to see if you can feel your heart beat. Now become aware of how much you love Baba. And reach your hand upward and send that love to Baba. Put your hand once again on your heart and put the other hand over top. And now I would like you to feel how much love you have for yourself. For the journey you're on, the courage, the humility, the strength, the surrender, the dignity, the sheer heroism of you, with the feeling of love in your heart, I would like you to send that up to Baba. Love for yourself. Both hands on the heart. Surround yourself with love.
stable in the present moment with love. Now I would like you to bring your hand to your forehead, and connecting to Baba, I would like you to draw power into the soul. Do it physically, even though we usually do it with our minds. Imagine drawing power into the soul, and then I would like you to spread it so that it pushes Maya away. So power from Baba into the soul, spread it around and push Maya away. Okay, do that one more time. Power from Baba to the soul, spread it around, push Maya away. The other hand, power from Baba down to the soul, push Maya away from everyone around you. Power from Baba into the soul, and then push Maya away from everyone around you. Now take both hands and turn in a big circle and imagine that you are now surrounded with light. All around you is a circle of protection. If you get dizzy, turn and go the other way. Is a circle of light. This is a circle of protection, and I want you to stand right in the middle of this circle of protection. Surrounded by light, feeling Baba's power in the forehead and the soul as a lighthouse. Breathing in peace and breathing out love. Breathing in peace and breathing out love. Now just check your consciousness in this moment. How does it feel? Thoughts, feelings, and body aligned in the same direction. Breathe in peace, breathe out love. Okay, and you can sit down. That was about alignment. Simplicity of consciousness is when I'm completely aligned. My thoughts, my feelings, and my actions are going in the same direction. So I'm using my body with the thoughts and the feelings. And they're aligned. Yeah? How did that feel? Feel nice inside? Any word to describe you could write down. So alignment internally, thoughts, feelings, and body actions is an expression of simplicity of consciousness. So write down anything you experienced, what that felt like. Okay, any comments from that one? Aligned thoughts, feelings, body. Okay, all right. So the fourth one, so we've done childlike, we've done essenceful, we've done aligned, and the last exercise I wanted to bring was absorbed. And absorbed in one. So ek. So when we're absorbed in one. And the exercise is about being absorbed in nature. My own pure nature, which I know is a reflection of Baba's nature. It's the same as Baba's nature, my pure nature. So I want to do a being absorbed in nature. My own nature exercise for this last experiment. And I think many of us love going out into nature, don't we? There's something about being free in nature, and we find it easy to be absorbed in the atmosphere of nature. So I'm going to ask you each on a clean piece of paper, if you have in front of you, to pick one thing you love from nature. It could be anything, but it must be one thing. It can't be all of nature. So a tree, a flower, a waterfall, the ocean, waves, doesn't matter, but just pick one thing that you love about nature. And I'm going to get my pen. Okay, so as soon as you have that one thing, I'm going to ask you to draw it on the top of your page. So I have a full page here, and I'm just going to draw my thing as a waterfall. I'm just going to draw a little waterfall on the top. So just draw that thing you love in nature on the top of your page. Doesn't have to be beautiful, but something that you recognize. Okay, everyone have something from nature, one thing. Okay, how many oceans do we have out there? Put up your hand. Sea, ocean. How many mountains? Ah, how many trees? Yeah, flowers? Oh, lots of flowers. Butterflies? Rainbows? Stars? Sun? Ah, the moon? Any animals? Yes, some animals out there. Okay. Anything else? A bird. Any birds? No. New seedling. The seeds are sprouting. Yeah. Yeah, they're new and fresh and nice. Okay. Sky. The sky. Space. You were saying? Is yellow? No. Yes, guy. Okay. All right. So I'd like you to write down three words under your picture. How you feel. What is it you like so much about this thing in nature? So for me, I like that waterfalls are sparkling, refreshing, and vibrant. Okay. So write down three words that you like about that thing. Ready? You got three words? It's best that they be qualities, not things like wet. Okay? Yeah, okay. And you can show the person sitting next to you and tell them the three qualities you like about this thing in nature. Now the next step, so I'm going to ask you to write exactly this sentence underneath, okay? And do it in your own language. But the sentence begins like this, like the, or as. So in my case, like a waterfall, or like the waterfall, and put your thing of nature in there. So like a waterfall, and you write what works for you. So like that thing, like a waterfall, okay? I am, and then put your three qualities in the sentence. Okay? So just write it down. Like a, whatever you picked in nature, I am, and put your three qualities in the sentence and make the grammar work. You like? You like? Do you like your sentence? They're wonderful, aren't they? Isn't it great? Funny how we pick things in nature that reflect us, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, everybody have a sentence? Yeah, and it makes sense? Like a waterfall, or I am, in my case, I am sparkling, refreshing, and vibrant like a waterfall. Okay, you all have a sentence that works? Can you memorize your sentence? If you put your paper down, will you remember your sentence? Yes? Okay, good. So I'm going to ask you to put your paper down. I ask you to put your pen down. I ask you to put your purse down, your book down. And we're going to go on a little meditation journey with our sentence. Okay? Do a little 5-minute meditation. And this is exploring the aspect of being absorbed in one. Okay? So we all know how to meditate. I'm going to walk us through it. So if you want to just sit quietly in your chair, make sure you're comfortable. We'll do a little, we'll do 3 breaths first actually. So if you want to breathe in deeply, just to ground your awareness in the body, hold your breath, and then let it go very slowly. Take a second deep breath in, breathe in fresh energy. Hold, can release any tension. Breathe in one last time. Breathe in peace. Hold. And release into peace. You feel the contour of the chair beneath your body. You feel your feet. I'd like you just to start by doing a little relaxation. Relax your feet by scrunching them all up, tightening your toes, and then releasing them. Your feet are relaxed. Now do the same with your legs, please. Bring your awareness to your legs and tighten all the muscles in your legs at the same time. Hold them tight and then release. Just allow your legs to relax. Become aware of the seat under your bottom. And I'd like you to trace the line of your spine with your mind all the way up to your neck. And I'd like you to find a posture for your neck that is not too far forward, not too far back, but upright so that you feel dignified, but relaxed. I'll bring your awareness to your tummy, your stomach. I'd like you to suck your stomach in, hold it, and then release. And suck your stomach in, hold, and release. One more time, pull it in, hold it, and release. Like a gentle massage for your organs. Your tummy's relaxed. And bring your shoulder up to your ears, your shoulders up to your ears. Tighten your hands and all the muscles in your arms really, really, really tight. Hold it, and then release. Just allow your hands to flop on your lap. Your whole body's relaxed now. And you bring your awareness to your face. Release any tension in your mouth, your jaw. Soften the eyes. I'd like you to imagine a warm hand, soft, comforting hand on your forehead, wiping across and taking away any tension in the mind. Just enjoy being in a body that is relaxed. I'd like you to see if you can feel your heartbeat just with your mind. Can you become aware of your heartbeat? And now bring your awareness to the center of the forehead, behind the eyes, to that room inside your head, where the soul resides. I'd like you to imagine that the room in your head is a big, spacious, clean, bright room, very quiet, very peaceful. And in front of you is a big screen where the eyelids are. I'm going to ask you to imagine that beautiful thing you've selected from nature on the screen in front of you. You might close your eyes for this, so you can visualize that beautiful thing you've chosen from nature. See it in all its vivid detail, the colors, maybe there's sound, maybe there's a smell. Breathe it in. Enjoy the beauty of nature. And now I would like you to say your sentence to yourself one time, slowly in silence, like the I am. And then breathe in. Say your sentence a second time, like the I am, and say your words. See if you can experience those qualities as you say it. Breathe in. And now one final time, I'll ask you to say your sentence to yourself again, and this time see if you can embody those qualities, like the I am. Breathe in. Allow yourself to be absorbed in these qualities. And notice how you feel inside in this moment. My awareness travels upward to the one who has shone a light on my qualities, and I sit in the light, absorbed in my own pure nature. When you're ready, slowly open your eyes. See the chair in front of you or the floor. Notice your own body. And as you lift your eyelids further, look at the wall in front of you. As you remain absorbed in your pure nature. You move your eyes around the room as you remain absorbed in your own inner beauty. Continue to breathe. Om Shanti. That was nice. We got traffic control just at that moment, wasn't it? So how did you enjoy that little nature exercise? Beautiful, is it? Did you enjoy? I think it's... I actually think it's a way to bypass the ego. When I'm looking at a waterfall, it's really easy to say sparkling, vibrant, and refreshing, you know, and own it. Whereas if I just said, I am sparkling, refreshing, and vibrant, I might not accept that. You know, the ego might be rejecting that. But anyways, so sweet little exercise. So that was the last one about being absorbed in my own nature. So we started with nature, went to my own nature, and just got absorbed. So the fourth expression of simplicity in consciousness. So we've done four. I'd like you just to take a moment and think about, of those four, which one you feel is most important for you to be intentional about especially this year, is Baba has given us a year of simplicity. So whether it's about being childlike, the first aspect, the playfulness, the, you know, getting out of the heaviness of serious Brahman life and finding ways to become more playful. So that was the first one, childlike. The second one was about being essenceful, whether you need to be practicing, developing this capacity in yourself to take yourself out of expansion and into essence more. That was the second one, right? Third one, alignment. And we did two different alignment exercises. One was mind, intellect, sanskaras, and the other was thoughts, feelings, and body. So, really, all of those being more aligned. So that's the practicing having the thought and the feeling while moving my body. Right? Often we separate those. And so the true karma yogi, of course, is the thoughts and the feelings aligned. Okay? Or even just to do that exercise of mind, intellect, sanskara. So that was the third one, aligning. And then the fourth one, absorbed in nature, right? My own pure nature. So those were the four aspects of simplicity that I wanted to experiment with this morning that came to me. So just take a moment and think about which one of those you feel you might be able to practice a bit more in these upcoming months in order to increase the simplicity of your own consciousness. Experience more simplicity in your consciousness. Okay? Maybe you can do all four, but maybe there's one. Anyone pick childlike? Show of hands. Yeah? A little more childlikeness? Okay, we need a lot more play out there. Okay, so looking forward to hearing stories about playfulness. How many of you picked essenceful? Yeah, so a diamond poem a day. Great way to do your chart. Do it as a diamond poem. Wouldn't that be interesting rather than numbers? And I mean, maybe still do your numbers. I'm a numbers gal. I've been doing my chart for 20 years every night. And I have to tell you, it can be quite disheartening to see the same number of minutes year after year after year. It's great. It makes me strong. We went from 90 minutes to an hour, no, to 2.5 hours at the 10-year mark. And that was thrilling. Thrilling. But really, you know. So, a lot more fun to do a chart if you do a diamond at the end of the day. You still have to count your remembrance, but you can do a diamond. That would be fun. How many of you said alignment? Yeah, so the thoughts, the feelings, and maybe the mind, intellect, sanskara. Great exercise. Okay, and how many of you said the last one, being absorbed in nature, your own nature? You know, you could probably never run out of things of nature. If you did this exercise every day at Amrit Vela and pick something different, or, you know, at night, whenever, and pick something different, you'd never run out of things in nature, would you? You could explore your own nature in detail. Okay. So those were the four experiments. But I have one more thing that could help you simplify your life, if you would like, before we go for lunch. Should we do that? This will take 10 minutes. Okay. I was thinking about how complicated a Brahman life can be, even though it's meant to be really simple. Somehow, as Brahmins, we seem to have complicated lives. So many things happening, so many directions. So this is a little exercise we developed to simplify our lives. Again, you'll need a piece of paper. And I'll have to break this open. A blank piece of paper in your notebook. And we're going to be drawing three circles, so you need enough space to do three concentric circles. But I'm going to ask you to start with one circle at the middle of your page with enough room to get bigger. One circle in the middle of the page, and I would like you to turn it into a 24-hour clock. This is how I do my chart because it doesn't take up much paper. So 24-hour clock, and what I do is I do a little pie. For how many minutes? So 12 midnight, 12 noon, 6 in the morning, 6 at night. That's a 24-hour clock. OK? Okay? And the way I do my chart is I just basically see how many, well, 4 o'clock is here, so how many minutes of remembrance I have, and I write it outside, and then I just add them up. But anyways, that's not what we're doing now. This is, I'd like you to do a pie chart of your day, how you spend your time. How you spend your time in an average 24-hour day. So when you're back in your center, or you're back in your service location, how do you spend your day? So we're all Brahmins. Chances are we spend from 4 to 7, you know, somewhere in there. We're spending it in yoga or study. And you might divide. You might say, I spend an hour in yoga and an hour in study, whatever. And then I have my breakfast, and then I go to work, okay? And I'd like you just to label each slice of the pie. So it's a pie chart of your average day, not a Marban day, but an average day, okay? So just take a couple moments on your own and create a time chart of a regular day in your life. And just have a look at how you use your time. And you can label whatever you like, work, service, yoga, exercise, food. Give each piece of the pie a name. And if you would like, for contrast, you don't have to, but if you would like to see the different bars, you could just color in one, leave one blank, color in the next, leave one blank, because you're going to need to see how they separate. So then you've got stripes. Okay, so you have another minute. An average day. How you use your time. So now this is very effective with a piece of paper. Do you have a piece of paper? Be much more. Can you borrow a piece of paper? You'll only get the impact if you do the paper form of it. Yeah, Gayatri Ben's got a paper for you. Yeah, I think you'll enjoy the discovery of this. Okay, when you're done, anyone done? Show of hands, who's done? Yeah, it's hard to map it out, isn't it? It takes a little bit of time. Okay. Okay, those who are done, draw another circle around it. And this circle we will now label according to the months of the year. So at the top we will put January. On the side we will put March. At the bottom we will put June. And on this side we will put September. And then December comes back at January. Okay? Now, without thinking, I would like you just to extend the lines of your pie chart. So here I have sleep. I'm just extending the lines from my pie chart out. There's no thinking, I'm just extending till it meets the outer circle. Okay, so extend your lines out to meet the next circle. So January, March, June, September. Around the outside and just extend your lines. Everyone there? Done? Okay, one more big circle around that. And this we're going to do number of years in your average life, at least in Canada. So one at the top. Let's put 21 over at March. At 6 o'clock, let's put 43 at June. Let's put 64 at September. And let's do 84 back at 1. Okay, so it's an average life. 1, what did I say? 21, 43, 64. Or 63, 84. Okay? Again, extend your lines out so they meet this outer circle. So essentially what we have now is a projection of how you use your time on a daily basis, what that will look like over 84 years. Now, we could do 84 births, if you would like, and do another circle, but I think we can stop there. Okay? Everyone have something that looked like this? Like a big... Yeah, okay. So now I would like you to look at the results of your life. If you continue to use a 24-hour day in the same way you use it now. And just see what that looks like over a whole lifetime. Are you happy with what you see? If you are, fantastic, carry on. Okay? If there is anything you would like to remove, do less of, in your big picture here, look at the day, what is the smallest amount you would have to remove in order to have a big impact over a whole life. Okay, so what's the smallest amount to remove? So you're spending too much time on something, you would like to spend less time on it. What is the smallest amount you could remove in one day in order to have a big impact over a year, over a life? Okay, so look at that. And in the same way, if there is anything you would like to add, you would like to see more of something in your time chart, what is the smallest amount you would need to add in a day in order to have a big impact over time? Okay, and add that in. So subtract or add in the little circle. The little circle, the 24-hour circle. So if you like the picture, great. If you would like to make some adjustments, do it on the 24-hour clock. What is the smallest amount to remove, smallest amount to add, if you want to use your time in a better way? It's quite simple, really, how we use our time on a daily basis creates the karmic consequences that complicate our lives, right? And complicate our consciousness. So we make simple decisions about what we want to do more or do less in order to get the fruit of time spent in a worthwhile way. Yeah, a simple life. It's very simple. Just a choice. We make a choice. First of all, it has to be clear, and then we make a choice. And then we stick with it. Okay. Is that okay? Yeah? Is it okay that we end there? Maybe have a moment of silence with that, and just all meant to be catalysts for your own reflection and your own discovery about yourself and simplicity. So maybe as Sona comes up, we'll have a moment of silence.